So how would it feel to take on the view that enlightenment was possible? I mean, to take it on really deeply, not just to think as a sort of bright idea, because that's what Buddhists do. Oh yeah, I'm a Buddhist, I believe in enlightenment. I mean, how would it feel to really believe enlightenment was possible? It's sort of just around the corner in a way. To sort of be able to take that on so deeply that it becomes the main influence of your life, becomes your main kind of guiding reference point. I was thinking what effect this would have, this kind of quality of faith that that was possible. And I've just come up with a few things that it would work against. These are just my own ideas. So it would work against confusion. I think sometimes we don't have faith because we resist making clear what we really believe. And we resist making clear the effect that certain things have on us. We don't quite know what we're looking for, and we don't quite know when we found it. We don't think it through enough. So faith works against that kind of darkness or that confusion that we have around our own vision. With a bit more faith, we begin to understand how to direct our lives. Then with more faith, we work against pride. I found this very interesting, because actually if you really have faith that enlightenment was possible, it could look like you were kind of a bit arrogant, see? But actually I don't think that happens. I think that arrogance gets quite quiet in you. And I'm trying to think. I think you're able to be more square with yourself, more honest with yourself, because it doesn't really matter who you are, because you know where you're going and you know it's possible to achieve it. And what I began to think was, I think pride is very caught up in the value of things. You know, I am of worth, I am more value than she is. Or I am unworthy, she is more of value than me. There's this whole kind of comparison thing going on. And our views of ourself is very exaggerated. And what is interesting is in that process, I think we don't really understand what our value is, what our real value is. So I was thinking, when you really understand that enlightenment is possible for you, you understand your real value. And your real value is based on your ability to move towards enlightenment. Is based on your ability to use your conditions, to use the opportunities you have. We've got a lot of good opportunities in our lives. I mean, the fact that you are on retreat means you're on like something like, I mean, you are on such a high level of opportunity in comparison to most of the people that live in this world. You've got enough money, you've got enough leisure, you're living in a country which it's legal to practice the Dharma, you don't have to be a particular religion. You've also got teachers that make the Dharma make sense to you. There's a lot of choice in your life and you're using it in a very particular way. So, I mean, God, I mean, in comparison to most of the world, you're just massively, what's the word, privileged. Yeah, massively privileged. We are massively privileged. For all the ups and downs in our own lives, for all the problems and the stuff around money we have or whatever. So we need to know our own value from that position, from that place in this world. And having an understanding of where you're going, having an understanding that enlightenment really is possible for me, for you, places us accurately in the world. We have a kind of full, honest, square position in the world. We know where we're going. We know what is possible. We know what we need to do. We have the opportunity to do it. Then our experience of ourselves is based on that. That, and we understand that's what our worth is. It's nothing to do with being intoxicated with who we are. And it's nothing to do with being overly concerned about who everyone else is and who we are or anything like that. It's quite simple for us. And another thing that faith works against is our preoccupation with insufficiency. So again, I think this is just another rationalisation for being lazy. We're very engaged with all the things that mean we can't do something. We're so engaged with all the things that we can't, all the things that are holding us back from doing it, that we don't ever get around to doing it, do we? There's a nice little story in Cave in the Snow with Tenzin Palmo describing her relationship to the monastery and the monks that she was particularly engaged with. And it was a bit complicated for her because they weren't allowed very much contact with women and they didn't have anywhere for her to stay in the monastery. So there were a lot of setbacks in terms of her having contact with the Dharma. And this obviously became a bit of an issue for her for a couple of years. And then she made friends with these, what she called Togdens, which are these kind of matted-haired, ascetic blokes. They were women, but they'd all been killed off by the Tibetans, I think. And so these blokes were all, like, big matted hair, naked, loads of rituals. They'd all done huge, long retreats at quite an early age, and they were all practicing all their rites and rituals and things like that. And they were very, very friendly to her, very kind to her. But at one point, one of the Togdens gave a really good teaching. He said, "You think we've got all the teachings, don't you?" She was obviously nodding. "You think we know lots more about the Dharma than you do. We don't. You know exactly the same amount of Dharma that we know. The only difference is we're doing it and you're not." So this was her being caught up in insufficiency.